Thank you for giving us that song. You inspired it. You earned it. The living God of the United States of America. And thank you for the men and women that when they received the call, and some of them just volunteered and said, I'm going. That call was answered. The volunteer went forward. And by the grace of God, your strength and your power, who you are, Father, you gave us victory after victory after victory. And I thank you so much for being born here in this land that is graced by your freedom. A land of abundance is a land of privilege to worship the living God, to receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Some don't like it. That's tough. We are not to stop. We must allow ourselves to be emboldened, having the courage that is needed to be that witness and demonstrate the Word, demonstrate Christianity. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for saving our souls, we that are saved, believers in Jesus Christ. But along with that salvation came a tremendous responsibility. Help us to fulfill it, to stand and go forward in the call that has been given us, and to realize that we are a holy nation, we are a priesthood of God. And we are not ashamed, nor are we embarrassed. We will continue going forward until the day we die or until the rapture comes, whichever. Bless these people. Open their hearts and their minds this morning to be receptive of the Word of God that you have given us, that we may learn more and apply more to our lives, that we may mature more in Jesus Christ and have more Christ-likeness about us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin with a printout this morning, Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. You'll notice the title is Christ's Message to Thyatira. Christ's Message to Thyatira. Let's begin with the topic, and I'm going to add some words you do not have, but you can write them in if you will. Topic: the intelligence and judgment of Jesus Christ. The intelligence and judgment of Jesus Christ. The emphasis of this lesson, what Jesus said to the church of Thyatira, He, Jesus Christ, is still saying to the church today. So listen well. People who promote, underline that word promote, it is important here, promote doctrinal error or promote teaching of false doctrine or tolerate. Underline the word tolerate. Tolerate, when you look it up, can be defined as the word allow. Allow. So we're talking about people who promote doctrinal error and people who tolerate doctrinal error. Be careful. I have heard many say during my years of ministry, well, I'm just going to sit in the pew, or I'm going to sit in the chair, and I won't get involved. Oh, you're involved. Like it or not, know it or not. If you're a child of God and you come to the house of God, you are responsible for what is being taught from the pulpit. If a speaker is up here and he or she is promoting doctrinal error, and you sit there and you tolerate it, You are guilty of it, and you are subject to the judgment of Almighty God if you don't do something about it. Say you have a man up here and he says he's teaching the Bible, but you know it's false doctrine. Are you going to sit there and tolerate it and just allow it? Or are you going to do something about it? I pray before that individual who is speaking before you that morning at that moment that you will stand up as a church and say, that is not the Word of God. And we will not promote that teaching, nor will we tolerate that preaching. We will not allow it here at Hainesville Baptist Church. Don't walk out of here after the service is over and begin to mumble and get in, you know, a little group here and a little group there and say, you know what, that's just not right. That's doctrinal error. And I knew it. But I sat there. I tolerated. I allowed it and didn't do anything about it. But I guess I'll keep coming back here to Hainesville Baptist Church. Surely it won't hurt anything. Chad, I believe that you would stand up and others would follow immediately and say in the middle of the teaching or the preaching and say that is not of the Word of the living God. And we will not tolerate it here. We will not allow it here. So we're going to ask that you leave this building. That is okay to do that. And I know that you would do that, and I appreciate it. People who promote doctrinal error or tolerate or allow those who do must repent. Underline that word repent. Most of you here should know the word repent is metanoeo. Metanoeo refers to a change of mind or a change of thinking that leads to a change of behavior. People who promote doctrinal error or tolerate those who do must repent, change your mind, that you may change your behavior, to avoid coming under the judgment of Almighty God. If you teach false doctrine, God's going to judge you. If you tolerate false doctrine, God is going to judge you. So deal with it yourself so He won't have to. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, Jesus said, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God." You notice the change there? It's not the Son of Man, it is the Son of God. Well, there's reasons for that. Number one, here is reaffirmation of Christ's deity. He's the Son of God. All judgment has been given over to Him. He has the right to judge every human being that will ever be born, that will ever live on planet Earth. So it's a reaffirmation of Christ's deity that Jesus Christ is God. If you say Jesus Christ is not God, that is false teaching right there and false believing. And you cannot be saved if you say Jesus is not God, but He was just a good human being, a good prophet, a good teacher. Listen to what the Bible says in John 1:1. He talks about Jesus Christ being the Word. And Jesus Christ has always been the Word of God. He has always been God. Therefore, He has no point of origin. He has always existed. He is eternal. And that is to be known in the book of Revelation, as other books in the Bible. "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God." So, number one, here is reaffirmation of Christ's deity. Jesus Christ as God is coming to judge the ungodly and the wicked and discipline His own people if necessary. Then there's a second thing here, Jesus being addressed as the Son of God. It is saying that Jesus, as the Son of God, is the Davidic King. He is the pure source of God. So bow the knee to the Lord of the universe and worship Him, Jesus Christ, and none other. I want you to notice what I've just told you is non-negotiable. It is never, ever going to change. Jesus Christ is God. He's always been God and always will be God. So these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Well, look at the word angel. A lot of controversy here, Jeff. Angel. Angel here describes a human messenger. One sent on a special mission. So you have the preacher. He's here. Did God send him here? Did God put him here? Did God raise him to be a preacher? Did God call him to be a preacher? That's the one you need to put on top of the list. So angel here describes a human messenger, one sent by the living God on special mission, one dispatched to perform a specific assignment. What is the preacher to do when he gets here? Preach and teach the word of the living God. So when you become a Christian in Christ, you're going to start out on the right path, because the Word of God is going to direct you, and the Word of God is going to instruct you, and the Word of God is going to empower you in all God asks you to do. All right, here we go. So in this verse, angel pictures the role of the pastor of the church of Thyatira. Question number one. When Jesus wants to speak to his church, does he send an angel to do it? The answer is no. Question number two. Is it an angel's responsibility to teach doctrine or bring correction to his people? The answer is no once again. Number three. Did most of the false doctrine that was being taught during the time of the early church come from the teaching of angels? The answer is yes. May surprise you. Well, let's look at point one. If you hear of anyone who has received a new teaching from an angel, don't listen to a word he or she says. It is not of God. And look at four. Is Jesus the one who has gifted his church? Would you underline that word his, or circle that word? It is very important. I want you to understand that this church does not belong to the Baptist denomination. This church does not belong to the pastor. This church does not belong to any of you that attend this church. This church, which is composed of believers in Jesus Christ, belongs to Jesus Christ himself. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. It was Jesus Christ that gave his life a sacrifice that paid our sin debt in full. Baptist, get you a cup and a bucket full of that teaching. When the Holy Spirit comes to you and convicts you of your unbelief in Jesus Christ, understand, unbelief in Jesus Christ is the only thing that will keep you out of heaven and receiving eternal life. And about that time, somebody says, well, what about my sins? What about your sins? Remember, Jesus on the cross paid your what? Sin debt in full. You owe nothing. You can't pay anything. You are saved by grace. You live by grace. And it is the grace of God that sustains you as a child of the living God all the days that God allows you to live. Back to the printout. Is Jesus the one who has gifted his church with pastors, evangelists, teachers, apostles, and prophets to be his messengers? The answer is absolutely yes. Well, then you got Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Most of you know that well. And, parenthesis, his gifts to the church. Now listen. If you receive a gift from Christ, it is a gift you can't pray for. It's a gift that you can't make happen. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, no doubt in my mind, in the Word of God, all together, in line, in function, give each believer the spiritual gift that they want him or her to have and function in as a believer in Christ. You cannot come to the front, get down on your knees, and say, "Heavenly Father, give me the gift of preaching. Give me the gift of teaching. Give me the gift of prophecy, or I want to be an apostle." What you do is say this, "Father, in Jesus' name, I am praying that you will enable me to understand the spiritual gift that you have given me by the grace of God, that I may function in it, that I will be a blessing towards you and a blessing towards the people that are going to be around me, that I may truly serve you in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have given me the gift to preach, then enable me and strengthen me and embolden me that I will not be scared to preach anything and everything in the Word of the living God. Let me use the gift that you have given me as a child of God." And if you are ready to submit to that, then when God gives you the gift He wants you to have, you will know it, you will understand it, you will know it more in time and understand it more in time, and you will function in that gift, and your happiness is going to come from how you receive the gift and function in the spiritual gift that God has blessed you with, that God has given you, and God is going to provide as you function in that gift. And His gifts to the church, believers in Christ, were varied. And He Himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors. Now, I've got something you don't have in reference to pastors. I want you to listen to these 5 points very quickly. Number one, under pastor. Pastor, someone the Lord raises up who cares for the total well-being of His flock. Number two, pastor is not a religious title. Pastor relates to the functioning of shepherding. Pastors are to be active in feeding, in caring, in guiding, and guarding of others. Number three, the pastor focuses on the devotion to self-sacrifice shown in ministry to ward off enemies of the flock, heal the wounded, and help bring unity. Point four, the local church needs a pastoral team. I'm going to stop right there. No preacher is a one-man show. No preacher is a one-man show. And let me read a little more. The local church needs a pastoral team. Team. Plurality. There is more than one teacher in this church. I just happen to be one. Chad is another. Jeff, you two guys. Jim, all of you that teach, all of you that fill in, we're a team. It's a team effort. So at Hainesville Baptist Church, there is no such thing as a one-man show. There's no such thing as a preacher runs everything. The preacher is not the boss. The preacher is an under-shepherd under Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. If there are two heads, you've got a freak show. And we don't want to be named Freaky Baptist Church. So there's one head, and the body comes from what? The head. The head gives direction. The head gives guidance. The head gives everything the body needs. And everything the body needs is going to come from the Word of the Living God. Amen. I want you to know, when we have a deacon's meeting, and we usually only have those who decide where to go eat, we come together, and I don't walk in there and say, "You're in my chair. You're going to have to move." I walk in there and saying, "We're on the same team. I'm not above you. I'm not below you. We are equal in Jesus Christ. We serve as a team." Plurality. So therefore, this church is not a one-man show. This church is all about everybody in Jesus Christ and everybody that comes in to understand more about life, more about salvation, more about themselves. And that's why I love this church more than you will ever know. And when it comes time to leave this church, it is going to be the hardest thing that I have ever done because of your love for the Word of the Living God. And I appreciate that so very, very much. It is a pleasure and a privilege to preach to you. And these have been the happiest years in the ministry. And Hainesville, you got a spot here. Let's look back. I'm not resigning today. I'm going to aggravate you for more time to come. Here we go. All believers are duly ordained priests. Get this one. So no pastor needs to rule as a good king in the congregation. So the church ultimately has no clergy. Surprise you? No clergy. Aren't you the clergy? No. Aren't you the pastor? The gift of pastor, yes. Listen. So the church ultimately has no clergy because there is no laity. Boy, you're zoned in, Rita. You ready for the kill? Here we go. There is no laity. In the New Testament, Christ did not remove the priesthood, just the laity. How do you know, preacher? Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning with verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. You got it? Here we go. You believers, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood. Now, let me read a little note. All believers in Christ shares in His priestly status, eliminating any special classes. You got any special classes here at Hainesville Baptist Church? Not one. Nobody walks in here with their head way up here, looking up, say, "I'm better than you are." We're all part of a priesthood. Plurality. It's all about teamwork. It's all about team members. It's all about people that are in Jesus Christ working together as a team. Do you have a leader? Yes, you have a leader. You got to have a leader. But I want you to notice that when you get saved, you stepped into salvation and you stepped into a big pile of responsibility. The responsibility is to live out your salvation that you have received by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You witness it, you demonstrate it. But is anybody any better than the other one? Not hardly. And if you think you are, let's meet outside and get that cleared now. Amen. Here we go. You believers, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen stone, a precious, honored cornerstone. And he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, relies on him, will never be disappointed in his expectations. This precious value then is for you who believe in him as God's only Son, the source of salvation, but for those who disbelieve, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they disobey the word of God, and to this they who reject him as Savior were also appointed. But you are a chosen race. Who are you? Just for the heck of it, if you're saved, raise your hand. You know who you are? You're fixing to know. You're a chosen race. Well, I thought I was just part of the laity. I thought when I got saved, I was just going to walk in here and sit down, and that's all there was to it. When you got saved, learn what your responsibility is in Jesus Christ and learn what he has done for you. And you will serve him and love him and praise him all the days of your life. Amen. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Every one of you that are in Christ are of a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds, and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who are you? I'm part of a priesthood that Jesus Christ allowed me to be in. And his gifts to the church, back to the printout at the bottom. And his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation. Billy Graham should be a great example of that. And some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip. Underline the word equip. It means equip by teaching them the word of God, so they will get things right from the beginning. Wow. Boy, that'd save a lot of pain and heartache, wouldn't it? Yeah. To fully equip and perfect or complete the saints, that's God's people, for works of service. Underline the word service. The word service means spirit empowered. Spirit empowered. You mean I can't do the work of God unless I am divinely persuaded and spiritually empowered? The answer is absolutely yes, you're correct. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, controlled, dominated, spiritually moved, spiritually persuaded. How? By the Holy Spirit of the living God. Brother, when you got saved, you stepped into a spiritual realm and a spiritual dimension, and therefore it's going to take a supernatural word of God and the supernatural power of God to move you and to make things happen that will be pleasing unto him and praise unto him. Amen? Thank you so much. For works of service to build up the body of Christ, the church, number five. Who has Christ placed in authority over the local churches? The answer is pastors. But pastors don't take that authority as you are something else that people are to look up to. Let me tell you something. If you want to look up to somebody in the house of God, look up to Jesus Christ. Turn to page 2, please. When he, Jesus Christ, has something to say to a church who does, he speaks it first to what? The pastor. Did you notice what he said? And to the angel of the church, he says, what does he say? Give this message to who? The pastor. Let's read. So the pastor is to bring what? God's word to his people. Church, ecclesia. Now, make this note if you don't have it. Remember, in reference to salvation, God takes the initiative. God takes the initiative and makes or sets the agenda. God takes the initiative and God sets the agenda. Here we go. Church. The church is a body of believers who have been called out of darkness. Called out of darkness. Let's define darkness. You're called out of sin. You're called out of rebellion. You're called out of evil. Notice you're called out. You know why? Because you can't get out yourself. If you could do all this yourself, you wouldn't have to be called out. Is that correct? So by the grace of God, and grace is God doing for you what you can't do for yourself, he says, get ready. You've accepted my son as Lord and Savior, and now my grace is fixing to do what? It is fixing to call you out of sin, rebellion, and evil, that you and I may go to work. So the church is a body of believers who have been called out, called forth, selected. When were you selected? In eternity past. Some people have a problem with that. Did God know you in eternity past? Some people say, I don't understand that. I do. God is God. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere present. God is all-sufficient. God is all-powerful. So don't tell me there's nothing God didn't ever know. So God is in black space, we would say. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's all there was. Yeah, that's all there was at a time. And then creation begins. Where does creation come from of the universe? It comes from the Holy Trinity. Is that correct? Thank you so much. So God knew you in eternity past. And here's the great blessing about that, Rita. Since God knew you in eternity past, he knew the decision you would make. And you know what? So he made sure he got the gospel to you. Because he knew what he's going to do with it. That's the effectual calling, right? Then you have the general calling. The gospel goes out. Does God know who's going to get saved out of a general calling? Yes, he's all-knowing. But there are some people, and I don't understand it all. There are some people like the Apostle Paul and others in the Bible, and God says, you know what? I want you. I'm coming for you. Paul didn't come for Jesus. Jesus came for him. And that's the way it is in Christianity. God is saying, I'm coming for you. There's something I want you to do. There's something I'm going to bless you with. Here's the spiritual gift that I'm going to give you, and you have no idea that you can fulfill this, and you can't until I really get into your life and empower you and embolden you to do what I have called you and gifted you to do. So if you were going to be saved, supposed to be saved, God knew you were going to be saved, nothing will stop him from getting the gospel to you. Back to the printout. Called out, called for, selected, assembled to be God's representatives in every town, city, state, or nation. We are the ones called forth out of society by God to make decisions that affect the atmosphere of every region where we live. We take actions in the spiritual realm that produce positive changes everywhere. Where do we take action? In the spirit realm that produce positive changes everywhere. Get out of your box, Baptist. We are called out ones invested with power. Whose power? God's power. Is that all powerful? Is that a supernatural power? Can Satan do anything to stop that power? The answer is absolutely not. You walk in the power of Almighty God. Understand that. An authority to bring God's will on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus spoke his message to the pastor of the church of Thyatira, it is important to note how John described his, Jesus Christ, appearance Revelation 2:18, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." Well, let's exegete this. Who hath means to have in one's possession. Jesus here has eyes like fire and feet like fine brass. Why, Rita? I'm picking on Rita this morning. Why is that so? Why is he so specific here? Look at the words, his eyes. No one has eyes like Jesus Christ. Listen, please. These eyes were compelling. Go back there for a moment. Say, John, if you don't mind, scoot over, would you? I want to look in the eyes that you've been looking at. John said, man, I've looked in them many times. And let me tell you something, there's not any eyes like that. These eyes were compelling, they were riveting and magnetic, irresistibly drawing John closer and closer to him. Then look at the flame of fire. This phrase, flame of fire, depicts a brightly burning fire with flames that are swirling, whirling, bending, twisting, turning, and arching upward toward the sky. This phrase does not describe the heat of the fire, it describes the character of the fire. There is a difference. Question number one, why were Jesus' feet like fine brass? Glad you asked. Fine brass, the word is the Greek word kalkolabalio. I'm going to spell it for you. KALKOLIB-AN-ON. Now, if you can say that five times real quick, please help me. Kalkos means brass or bronze. And the word labanos means what? So you got judgment, brass, and then you got frankincense mixed together. I wonder why. Turn to the next page. We're going to find out. In this verse, page 3, brass and frankincense are pictured as alloys attempting to be mixed together. Brass or bronze, kalkos, always represents judgment, and frankincense, labanos, represents prayers. Now, did you notice the second paragraph? He's going to put these two words together. And here's the meaning you don't want to miss. The Greek word, kalkolabano, translated here as fine brass, reveals that while Christ's feet were prepared to move towards judgment, they were drenched in intercessory prayer, that repentance would occur before his arrival to apply judgment. You see, Jesus' eyes were deeply examining all that was taking place inside the church. The fire in his eyes was meant to purify them. If only they would turn and repent of their sin, this is what he was praying would happen. His judgment was coming, but it was bathed in what? Prayer. That's the reason his feet looked like they did. That's the expression, the symbol he wanted you to see. The same is true of Jesus today. He is not in a rush to judge anyone. That is his last resort. Most gracious Heavenly Father, isn't Jesus good? Isn't God good? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And God's people said, amen. Father, we are thankful for our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Yes, he is God, and all judgment has been given to him, but he at the same time is full of compassion and mercy and forgiveness. When he comes to you, you say, I've had it. He says, no. He said, you know what? I've been bathing you in prayer. Did you know Jesus knows your name and He prays for you? He doesn't just say, well, you know so-and-so down there. He just mentions the name. And the Father looks at this individual who He's been praying for and says, boy, you have really washed him good. You've bathed him. You've bathed him in your prayer. May he or she respond. For Jesus has not changed. He's not in a rush to come down on anybody. But He's always there praying. And thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Heavenly Father, for knowing our name, for making it personal. And thank you for this Word of God that lets all of us know, as God's people in the house of God, the body of Christ, that there's not a one-man show here. We're a team, a plurality, joined together, sharing the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, encouraging others in Christ, and praying for others in Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're a team in Jesus Christ. Father, I'm going to pray for Lynette Osborne. Not doing really good, and you know more about it than I do. She's in the hospital. I pray that the people here, and I know they have been praying, and we ask more to join in. Pray for her, pray for Pat, pray for the family. For God's blessed will to be done, we pray for that. Father, we pray for Harold. We thank you for the privilege to pray for our brother in Christ, that you'll continue to strengthen him and bring healing to his body. For Kelly, we pray that you'll give her strength. Encourage her. Encourage them both to continue to face everything with their hand in God's hand and the faith that He gives them. Lord, for Conley, we continue to pray for him, that you'll continue to give that body strength. Give him, Heavenly Father, what is needed each day to climb each hill before him. Give him physical strength, and also give him that spiritual strength. And Father, I know there are many, many others here. We lift them up also. I lift up this whole body of believers, that Jesus will be able to use us more and more each and every day. As we learn, we give it back in helping others and living more for our Lord. Thank you so much for your Word. I love it. We love it here. And we thank you for the privilege to exegete it, to talk about it, to discuss it in a team effort. Thank you for the teachers here. Thank you for those who pray for the teachers. Just thank you for the loving God that you are. In Jesus' name, ask all these things.